Alan Quinn Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3, for Spring Semester 2017. Lecture 23, delivered on April 24, 2017. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 2.
Today, Review for Exam 2. Exam 2 is structured just like Exam 1. Choose 4 of 5 to answer. Don't answer all 5. And make sure you read that grading rubric so you're not losing points on spelling and putting parentheses and lists. This is straight sentences, at most two sentences to answer any question. And I'm going to give you about 20 possibilities, and all of the questions will come from these 20 that I give you. And then I'll talk to you, and then you can ask me questions. And as I said in the first review, if you say, is this going to be on the exam, and it's not, I will tell you, no, I'm not going to ask that. And if it is going to be on the exam, I'll be very cagey about it. But and, of course, as always, there's no math on these exams. This is answering based on lectures supported by textbook material. So you have to listen to the podcast and make sure that you have your notes in order to get these dead on. And also, always be careful about having someone who knows all the right answers, because that can lead to a cluster of anywhere from 3 to 8 or 10 people getting all of them getting exactly the same wrong answer. So always be suspicious of the person next to you. Might not be as smart as you are. Okay. And remember, if you're looking for answers on the internet, my cat Phineas is always there to answer your questions, and he knows nothing about finance. So be careful about quoting Investopedia, and for God's sake, don't go to Wikistupedia. I mean, anyway, okay, starting out. Identify 2 known points on the security market line. Identify 2 known points on the security market line. Now, just to make sure you remember what that is, the security market line is that plot of beta on the x-axis against the expected return on the vertical axis. And so it has an anchor on the y-axis, on the expected return axis. And then it has a known point up here somewhere that fluctuates through time. Both of these points can change based upon economic conditions and Federal Reserve policy. But you should have it in your notes, those 2 points. And it's actually a really easy question if you know what those 2 points are. You know, the Cartesian coordinates, something, comma, something. Okay? I'll even go a little further. The first coordinate of each point is a number. The second coordinate is a variable or a parameter. Moving on. This is actually a question that you can answer in one sentence, what I'm about to give you. But you have to make sure you include all of the parts of it. What is the relationship between the net present value and the internal rate of return of a project? What is the relationship between the net present value and the internal rate of return of a project? And that one is one sentence. Look, 3 of these are going to be definitional. in the questions you'll get. All you have to do is tell me what I told you. Don't be creative. Say what I said exactly. And then don't say, well, you said this instead. No, just hit it right on the head and then you can move on. Now, another one like that is, what does the beta of a security or portfolio measure? What does the beta of a security or portfolio measure? Now remember that even if these aren't on this exam, they're also bait for the final. We'll do a review of the final, but it's not worthless to study all of these anyway so that you've got the final ready in your mind. Okay, now another one that is a definition is, what is meant by optimal capital structure? What is meant by optimal capital structure? And again, one sentence is all you need. Don't keep going on if you don't have to. Again, what is meant by optimal capital structure? And a related question, what is meant by capital structure in general? What is meant by capital structure? I could frame that one either way. I wouldn't do it both ways, but if I were to do that question, one of those two questions, it would be only one of them. Okay, there's some definitionals. Now we get to some that are, you have to think more, write clearly, probably two sentences. If debt is cheaper than equity as a source of capital for a firm, corporations should have a capital structure that is 100% debt. Why is this not the case in the real world? Again, if debt is cheaper than equity as a source of capital, corporations should have a capital structure that is 100% debt. Why is this not the case in the real world? In other words, we see companies that have debt and equity. But if debt's cheaper than equity, why would companies ever finance their projects with equity, with selling common stock? Okay, now another one that requires more framing of content. Suppose a firm has established a hurdle rate of 12% for all new projects. Again, suppose a firm has established a hurdle rate of 12% for all new projects. If a project is proposed that has an internal rate of return of 10%, what will the company do and why? Again, if a project is proposed that has an internal rate of return of 10%, what will the company do and why? What will the company do and why? Now, in order to answer that, you will need to invoke the term net present value. Write that down, because to answer that question, you can actually answer that question in one sentence, and you explain it in terms of what the implication is on net present value. And also, don't abbreviate net present value and internal rate of return. Write words out. You're writing for an audience that is intelligent and educated, but doesn't know your terms that we use in these classes. Okay, another one. Explain why the correlation between returns of securities is important in constructing a portfolio. Again, explain why the correlation between the returns to securities is important in constructing a portfolio. Now, for this one, I'll even give you a little bit of guidance. you will need to invoke the term unsystematic risk. Now, this one, you'll have to make sure that your notes are really good. It's in the podcast, and I wrote it on the board. Explain what is meant by the expected market premium over risk-free. Explain what is meant by the term expected market premium over risk-free. Now, don't write an equation. That will get you no points. It's worthless for you to do that. You need to explain to me. It was part of the capital asset pricing model. I'll give you that part to sort of guide you. And it's actually a fairly straightforward answer if you have it dead nailed in your notes or if you can catch it in the podcast. And it would be in the podcast that was the capital asset pricing model podcast. Okay, the next one. Why is debt more favorable as a source of capital for very large profitable firms than it is for smaller firms with less profit? Why is debt more favorable as a source of capital for very large profitable firms than it is for small firms with lower profits? And that one would be in the lecture, the last two lectures, cost of capital, and I also hit it harder in the component costs of capital lectures, the last two before this lecture, lectures 21 and 22. Okay, now. Distinguish between systematic and unsystematic risk. Now, you have to do more than just say, well, systematic risk is non-diversifiable and unsystematic risk is diversifiable. That's not an answer. That's just giving me another word. Explain to me what is meant by systematic and distinguish between them. What is different? In other words, contrast the two in that question. Now, the next one was in a lecture, but it would be a tougher one if I put this one on there. What's about what I'm about to give you? What is the relationship between the general interest rate level in an economy and the number and risk of projects that companies will accept? What is the relationship between the general level of interest rates in an economy and the number and risk of projects that a company will accept? And the number and risk of projects that a company will accept. Now, the one way you can think about this one is in terms of interest rates going up, What does that do to the ability of projects to clear the NPV hurdle of zero? That's about all I can do for you on that one, but that should help a little bit. It's a subtler concept, and it explains much of why an economy slows down, unemployment goes up, when interest rates start rising. You want to own a well-diversified portfolio. Explain two ways that you could do this, or explain three ways that you could do this. I'm sorry, not two, three. You want to own a well-diversified portfolio. Explain two ways that you could do this. Three. Wow. I think I'm still suffering hypoxia from being in a horse head. Now, this one was, there's the old-fashioned plow it out kind of way. And then there are two more modern ways that you can do it. And you really need only just say three ways that an investor could form a well-diversified portfolio are the following, purchase. You could do it that way. That would be perfectly acceptable, and it would be just a slam approach to it. Here's one that is going to be treacherous for you if I take you to this one. What two ways can equity be a source of capital for a firm? What two ways can equity be a source of capital for a firm? Now, this is not about preferred versus common stock. That's not what this is about. You saw me writing up there on the board all these different component costs of capital. And I showed you two different equity methods, aside from preferred stock. I showed you two ways that a company can have equity capital. One was more expensive than the other. Okay, now, comparing a young investor in his or her mid-20s with an older investor in his or her mid-50s, what would you expect to find about the relative betas of their portfolios? What would you expect to find about the relative betas of their portfolios? Explain your reasoning. On a level scale of 1 to 5, this one's about a 3. It's not really too hard, but you've got to give me a clear explanation. The younger investor would have a portfolio with a beta that was compared to the portfolio of the older investor. This is because, the second sentence would be, this is because. So it's not a killer, but at the same time, you've got to be just clear right on the button with me. Hit the nail on the head. Okay, now, a couple of questions that I actually talked about in class. A fund manager is featured and praised on the Financial News Network because he had the highest portfolio return among all fund managers last year. Again, a fund manager is featured and praised on the Financial News Network because he had the highest portfolio return among all fund managers last year. Why should his achievement not impress you? Why should his achievement not impress you? And I will just say, remember that return means nothing unless you talk about the second dimension that is always attached. Okay, that's your hint on that one. Now, the last one I'll share with you. On a financial news show, a stock analyst shows the price chart of a stock and notes the considerable price volatility. On a financial news show, the financial analyst shows the price chart of a stock and notes the considerable price volatility. He says, quote, "This is clearly a very risky stock," period, end quote. Why might he be completely wrong? Why might he be completely wrong? That's enough for me. What do you say? What do you want to ask? Anyone got any questions for me? Yeah. No, because only one of them is what's relevant with the correlation.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can quote unsystematic risk without being explained.
The different, no, when if you have a question where you have to talk about one of the two risks, you need not go into the other one because clearly you would understand that there were two by talking about one of them instead of in a specific way. So there's no reason for you to worry about that. Go. No, I will not ask that. I will not ask that. You got plenty to chew on this one. Yeah. Say that one again. Oh, if debt is cheaper than equity. Again, if debt is cheaper than equity. Let me get you the specifics of it. As a source of capital for a firm, corporations should have a capital structure that's 100% debt. I mean, it's cheaper. Why is this not the case in the real world? In other words, if debt is cheaper than equity, why do we see equity in capital structures? Now remember, just stay frosty. This one shouldn't take you. I mean, if you got your major act together, and of course you have your 4x6 card for this one, if you got your major act together, this should not take you more than 30, 40 minutes to do this exam. And then we can go on to the last piece of this course and then end this puppy before it gets to be a big raging dog. Yeah. Only that one where I talk, suppose a firm has an established hurdle rate of 12% for all new projects. If a project is proposed that has an internal rate of return of 10%, what will the company do and why? Now remember that that has to do, and I'll even draw you a graph that might help jog your memory. Net present value discount rate. Now, remember that the NPV curve drops downward like that. And that point right there is actually the subject of an, ow, that hurt like, that point right there has a name, which is another question I could ask on this exam. But if you think about the concept of a hurdle rate, you can say, all right, he said the hurdle rate was, and I would put an X, he said that the internal rate of return was this point. So why, what would the corporation do, and why would it do it? And you have to say the why in terms of the net present value. Okay? It's actually, if you got the concept of net present value, internal rate of return down, all you have to do is draw this and draw, mark where the internal rate of return is, and then put in a mark for where I said the hurdle rate was, and you'll see, oh, NPV is, okay? That's all you would have to do to nail that question to the wall. These are really easy if you got the concepts down clearly. They can be just twist your head if you don't. Other questions you have? Yeah.
Did you want the pros and cons of the three ways to make a fallback?
No, I'm going to ask you to give them, but you don't have to tell me the pros and cons, okay? I won't. The question was about give three ways that you could create a well-diversified portfolio. All you'll need to do for this test is just tell me three ways. Don't tell me the ups and the pros and cons of each of them. Okay? Yeah, that I would do on a final. Anything else? Yeah. No, that one would be more of a final exam kind of question. These exams, the two midterms or more, just giving me that you know the basics, and then you have to extend it a little bit in the final exam. But by then, you should be all doing really well. The typical path is this. Exam one is a bad exam, and you get lower grades for a couple of reasons. One is because you don't know how I ask questions, and two, to a certain extent, you're still trying to see if you can write in an informal language for me. In exam two, the score is usually 2 to 7 points higher on average for the class. The final exam is a little better than that, usually about 2% or so higher than the second exam. So if that gives you any comfort, there you go. Yeah, go ahead. Electronic transfer fund. Or electronically traded fund is the one that you would want to use for this question. Electronically traded fund. Yeah, I understand why you're asking that, because I constantly was doing ETF for that one on the board. And I don't know if I said more than once. ETF stands for electronically traded fund. Anything? Yeah. I will not ask anything about standard deviation, because most of my own deviations are quite non-standard. Thank you. Yeah. Say that again. No, not directly. That would be contained in the question on the difference between systematic and unsystematic risk. Quite specifically. That was almost handing you the answer. Go.
What about correlation coefficients?
Well, the only where I would ask that is why, in the question that I gave you about, where was it? I'll give it to you again very specifically here. The only place that I would ask it. Wow. Actually, I guess I could just put the exam up here on the board for you to look at if you want. Yeah, right there, teacher. explain why the correlation between stock price, stock returns, is important in constructing a portfolio. That's where I would ask that. And it has all to do, and that goes to the other question someone else asked. This has to do with one type of risk. You don't have to talk about both types of risk. Just say this does this to that type of risk. That's all you have to do. I don't get really specific on the exams with those kinds of numbers. Like I said, you get beaten up in those online quizzes and tests and all that. So this isn't about numbers at all. Yeah.
For the fund manager one, you're not looking for us to get into taxes on capital.
No. That's accounting stuff, okay? And I try to avoid that if I can. Is there anything else you have? Okay. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.